Fun. Last time I shared with you some principles that I thought are helpful to remember, you know, that God is sovereign, that only Jesus brings peace, that broken people always fight, and that's why there's fighting there. Let's not just think that it's because of something special that's happening there. Broken people always are fighting. There's never been a time without war in the world, sadly. We have to remember in times like this, truth matters, justice matters. The danger in times like this is that we won't automatically think, now what's the truth here? What's God's justice here? But we'll go to one extreme or the other. We'll pick a side and then justify whatever that side does. Any humanist can say life matters above all. But Jesus goes to the cross and gives his life. Why? To satisfy justice so we can be saved. There are some things that matter more than human life. And justice and love are two of those things. Remember in Exodus 20, this says God will punish the third and fourth generations. Why is that? Again, I hear some people justify, yeah, but what about the innocent children of Palestine? And that is horrible that innocent people anywhere would experience the consequences of somebody else's sin. But more than once in the Old Testament, God says, I will impose judgment to the third and fourth generation. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because, the third and fourth generation is still alive. Sometimes it's because the third and fourth generation participate in the sin. But sometimes it's just when you punish the first and second generation, the third and fourth generation get punished along with it as well, even though they weren't, complete practical participants. But justice had to be done. Justice means, by the way, defeating evil. Justice means, you know, surrender. Some people are crying now for ceasefire. Ceasefire, this is not just, you know, that kind of moral clarity. People are crying, this is genocide for Israel to attack. But I would suggest to you, people want a ceasefire now, maybe partially because they're soft-hearted, but to some degree, it's because they belittle the evil that Hamas has done. Historically, war ends with repentance. Germany and Japan have to say, we surrender. We give up. What do we need to do to right the wrong? I don't know how this is going to end, but Israel has the right to fight Hamas to its surrender. And the best thing for the world is for Hamas to surrender and for it not to stop until they have surrendered. That way, evil is not encouraged in the future. Finally, we must always remember that Jesus, again, is the ultimate judge. Don't make this mistake of trying to justify things because of emotions, justify things because of confused morality. Sometimes love must be tough. This is a severe mercy of God. Next, I would point out that God has delegated justice to the state. I referred to this earlier. Listen to Romans chapter 12. This is where one of the big confusion points that people have, that Christians have. Romans 12, 17 says, don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to honor everybody and to give careful thought to do what is honorable in everybody's eyes. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Friends, don't avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, the Bible could not be more clear. Jesus turned the other cheek. Here it says, don't take revenge for yourself. But then you go to the next verse and listen to what it says. Before I go to that, let me say, what Paul has just written is to individuals. What does it mean for an individual to be a follower of Christ? Remember, the responsibility of the individual, the responsibility of the family, the responsibility of the home. Now listen to what Paul says is the responsibility of the state. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Let everybody submit to governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it bring judgment on themselves. For it is the state, God's servant for good. And if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For it is God's servant, an avenger, that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Now, notice a couple of things there. First of all, Paul says the state, God has organized the world. He's organized governments to govern people, to govern families, churches, to kind of oversee society so there can be peace. But then he's said they are instituted as God's servants. This is why historically in the West, many governments have actually been organized as ministries. Even in the Soviet Union, remember, they have the ministry of this and the ministry of that. Why? Because they saw themselves as ministers of God. In other words, God is the one who's in authority. God has given them responsibility. As they carry out God's responsibility, they are serving God by serving people under God's authority, doing what God has called them to do. He is God's servant for good. And the good there, by the way, is defined here in Romans 13 and other places as doing justice. You know, if you're afraid, if you do wrong, be afraid. He does not bear the sword for no reason. The purpose of the state, God has given the authority of the state, the authority for capital punishment. The authority, and therefore, you know, you deduce the authority for other punishments that are lesser than that is the idea. Why? God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath to those who do wrong. See, where people get messed up and confused, and they're morally confused, is that they hear Jesus' direction for the individual or the church, and they confuse it with the purpose of the state and the responsibility of the state. See, the purpose of the church and the individual is to bring people to Christ, bring people to salvation. That's done through love, by grace in Christ. And so the church's message is, come all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, be saved by the grace of Christ. You know, and so to bring people to salvation, the purpose of the state is not to bring people to salvation. The purpose of the state is to oversee a society so individuals and the church can fully function in peace and freedom. And that is not done by, in a sense, grace and love. That's done by tough love, which is called justice. That's why at the end of Romans 12, the Bible can say, or Paul can say, hey, don't take revenge. It's God's, to leave room for God's wrath. But just a couple of verses later, Paul understands and he says, and who is the one who brings God's wrath? The state. He is God's servant and avenger to bring wrath on those who do wrong. And when the state doesn't take the responsibility to be a servant of God, to punish evil through bearing the sword, the state is actually complicit in evil. So, why is it? That's why we have just war theory, by the way. There are right ways to do that and wrong ways to do that. There are limitations. You can't just do anything, you know, and be more. You don't just disproportionately attack. You don't attack, purposefully attack innocents. You don't create other crimes of war in the process of doing. No. There's just war theory that gives definition for that. But the point is clear. What people want to do, what some people in the name of peace, they'll, oh, we need to love. We need to not have war. You know, war is bad. Yeah, war is bad. War is ugly. Justice is often difficult and painful. But as C.S. Lewis said, if war is ever right, peace is sometimes unjust. Peace is sometimes wrong. And so why does Israel have the right to respond to Hamas like this? Because of justice. Two quick things more. One final thing, actually. Finally, war reminds us that we are not made for this world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 says, since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, talking about the end of the world, it's clear what sort of people we ought to be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. Because on that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire and the elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The more we see ungodliness and evil in the world, the more it ought to make us aware, I'm not made for this world. My home is not a home of unrighteousness. I long for a home of righteousness. Revelation 21, verse 3. Toward the end of that book, John writes, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." And the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." Talking with my friend Fatima on my walk the other day, it was easy to talk about how confusing things are and people fighting and so much injustice and so much pain and why are people like this? And there's a lot that we can't be clear about, but the one thing that we can be clear about, I said, "Fatima, you know, it reminds us we're not made for this world. We're not made for a world at war. We're made for a world at peace, a home of righteousness." And again, if anything happens in this uncertain time, I hope it reminds us that God is sovereign. He is on his throne. That God is good. That God is in control. That we are not made for this uncertain world. But there's coming a day when every tear will be wiped away and every war will be stopped. And all the injustice will be made right. And we'll know faithfulness to God was worth it all. Heavenly Father, help us to be your people. Help us to be ready to give an answer to people to when they ask for the reason, the hope that we have. Help us to think clearly and to think thoughts after you and to share what you have, would have us to share to encourage others and give them hope. It's through Christ I pray these things. Amen. Thanks for paying attention. And if you have any questions, I hope that you'll reach out and let us know.